few videos back, I asked you to consider what was going on. I asked you to consider you. And who, apart from you, is a party to what you are experiencing? And there's only you. There's only you experiencing sound. There's only you experiencing any colour. There's only you experiencing any particular discomfort or pain or mood. There's only you experiencing a particular thought. Nobody else knows what thought you're experiencing. But we like to tell ourselves that this isn't so. It's indisputably so. But we don't like to admit this. For some reason, we're afraid to admit this. Perhaps we're afraid that we might get lonely. Or perhaps we're afraid of being accused of being egocentric, megalomaniacal, even having delusions of grandeur. But that's only if you're identifying with an ego. An ego is no more than an idea. It's no more than a notion. There is only this experiencing happening, and you are at the centre of it. And you believe that others are experiencing something similar. You believe that there are others. Because we've got this huge need to believe in other. Some time back I mentioned the film Castaway with Tom Hanks, who was isolated on an island for a long time, and he eventually builds up this relationship with a beach ball with a face painted on it. This becomes his other. He creates an other. This is our basic tendency. That gives us a way of interacting, so that we can interact, so that we can come away from this realization, which we perhaps find too freaky, that there is only this center of experiencing. It's not to be afraid of, though. It's nothing to be feared or afraid of. It's something which is the avenue to bliss. This is the bliss of consciousness. Isn't it curious that we have this dreadful fear, that we flap around trying to find a reason why reality is not as it is? So all these notions, not only notions of other, but notions of self, they're all notional. Every idea, every understanding that we have is removed from the essential experiencing that is going on right here, right now. This is the cosmos. In flowers, leaves, fruits, pillars. Some Hindu temples have a lot of pillars. Trees, and in everything, as everything and everywhere, the Supreme Being alone exists as the Other. The two expressions, namely the Supreme Being and the universe, are synonymous. So realize that anything which is not within the immediate experiencing is notional. Also, any idea you've got about the immediate experience is notional. This is all consciousness. It's like dream. Everything in a dream is notional. Everything in the waking state is notional. There's only the experiencing going on. When, through the study of the scriptures, dealing with self-knowledge, this truth is realized, there is liberation. All our notions are the source of all our anxieties, all our fears, all our psychological pain. When you drop your belief in your notions, then all psychological pain is cut at a stroke. The content or the reality of notions and thoughts is Brahman, or the infinite consciousness. And that itself is the content of the reality of the world appearance too. Hence the world is Brahman. And this is what gives it its apparent reality. This is why we believe in the external world, because this is the power of consciousness. This is the immediacy of consciousness. This is the reality of consciousness. It's because consciousness is reality that everything that arises in consciousness seems real. When you're in a dream, that's consciousness. It seems real. It seems very real. This is what consciousness does. It gives us that sense of reality. But in giving us that sense of reality, we forget about consciousness. Spiritual practice is about coming back to the reality of consciousness. Descriptions and that which is beyond description, injunctions and prohibitions, existence and non-existence, silence and non-silence, jiva and the self, all this is Brahman. The reality alone appears to be the unreal appearance. When all this is Brahman alone, what is activity and what is renunciation and all the rest of it? What is all of our understanding? What does it all come to? It's all notions. Notions floating around on an ocean of notions. In one sleep there arise both sleep and a thousand dreams. Even so, in the one indivisible consciousness, countless appearances arise. All these are essentially pure consciousness, which is extremely subtle. This is why we keep overlooking it, because it's so subtle. But it's the prime fact of all experience. It's awareness. Without awareness, how can there be anything? They are really indivisible, though they appear to be visible. The whole universe, including Rudra, Vishnu and Brahma, is like a dream. So the gods are also part of this reality. They're part of this dreamlike reality. All reality is dreamlike. In that single ocean of consciousness, this diversity with all its joys and sorrows arises. Just as one with a defective vision sees strange objects in space, even so the ignorant perceive the world. The ignorant are those caught up with notions of cognition. The notion that arises in Brahma, the creator, known as the world order, brings about all these and sustains them. We've got a certain world order, which scientists and sociologists and others study. But every night, we have a dream which has got its own world order, different from this one. So there are different world orders possible. In the world order of a particular dream, you might be able to fly. In this world order, which we call the waking world order, individual human beings do not seem to be able to fly under their own power. But who knows? Who knows?